In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I pay federal tax, state tax, city tax, self-employment tax, real estate tax, sales tax, and a tax on every gallon of gasoline. Recently, there was a viral video going around on social media of a teenage boy excitedly opening the envelope containing his first paycheck, and his excitement soon turns to frustration and anger when he sees what's left after the taxes. His older brother helpfully tells him, "Welcome to the world." I haven't met too many folks who like taxes. Now, taxes are necessary, and in this nation, taxes are sort of our own fault since we tax ourselves by voting for levies and voting for people to write and administer the tax code. We really don't have anyone to blame but ourselves. The people in Jesus' time did not get to vote. Taxes are imposed on them by the Roman emperor and the local authorities. The people have no say. They pay what Caesar tells them to pay, and probably a little more due to the dishonest tax collectors. There is a deep, ongoing tension between the Jewish people and their Roman overlords, who enforce the law through local so-called Jewish kings and Roman governors. In our gospel reading today, it's slightly after Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem to the shouts of the crowd, and then he cleared the temple. The Pharisees are working hard to nail Jesus down with his own words so he'll be caught up in that vast political abyss between the Jewish people and the Roman authorities and be discredited. The Pharisees recruit their political enemies, the Herodians, who were in favor of the Romans, to help trap Jesus in his words. So much political intrigue, so much tension, so much trying to get Jesus to condemn himself. And the Pharisees have crafted a carefully prepared trap. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Oh, those wily Pharisees. They've got Jesus right where they want him. They're going to nail him down on this question, and that will be the end for Jesus. But Jesus knows what they're doing. "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites?" The Pharisees are hypocrites because they themselves wouldn't answer the same question out of fear of angering the Jewish people or the Roman authorities. Jesus quickly dismantles their argument by having them show him a coin with Caesar's picture on it. "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Over the years, a lot of words have been spoken and a lot of ink has been spilled discussing what Jesus means by "render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." We hear that Jesus is teaching that we should pay taxes to the government as if that was the main point of Matthew's account of this confrontation. But this is not a sermon from Jesus about paying taxes. This is only Jesus disarming the trap set by the Pharisees and the Herodians in order to try to nail down Jesus with his own words. The important words here are "render to God the things that are God's." Pay to God, give to God the things that are God's. So what belongs to God? That is a big, scary question. What belongs to God? This is a question that we really do not want to answer because the answer is overwhelming. Give to God the things that are God's. Well, maybe it's just 10%. 10% of your money should go to God. I mean, 10%'s a lot. That's a car payment. Is Jesus telling you to give 10% of your money to God? Maybe he means 10% of your time. If you have 40-hour work week, and 10% of that would be 4 hours. Is Jesus saying you should give 4 hours a week to God? Render to God the things that are God's. What belongs to God? Not 10%. 100%. Everything belongs to God. God created the world in 6 days and set in motion the ongoing creation that created you and all that you have. Give to God the things that are God's. Your entire life. All your money. All your possessions. All your time. It all belongs to God. Jesus is teaching that you should listen to the words of John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, because Jesus is king. Repent, because Jesus is in charge. Repent, because Jesus is God incarnate, God in flesh. Repent. Turn away from the influences of the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature, and be fully dedicated to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, does this mean you should sell everything off and run off to a monastery? No. It does mean that you should live your life doing what you're supposed to be doing, loving God, and loving and serving your neighbor in whatever vocations that you have been given. Parent, child, grandparent, employer, employee, student, teacher, citizen, pastor, parishioner, neighbor. It means cutting out sinful behaviors from your life, no matter how much that hurts. It means using your money to serve and love others that you have been given to serve and love, and finding ways to love and serve others. It means that you don't get to partition off a part of your life or your money that you get to use for your selfish indulgences or evil. Everything belongs to God. These idiot Pharisees are all worried about protecting their political power and influence. They're so worried about making money from the Jewish people. They're so worried about the day-to-day political intricacies of life. They're even using their enemies, the Herodians, to try to pull Jesus into a dispute about taxes. But they are missing the infinite divine truth standing right there in front of them. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. God, the King of the universe, is standing right there in front of them, and they are missing it because they're so busy with their own stuff. They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they do not perceive. The Pharisees are so caught up in the politics that they miss out on Jesus' identity. How many people today are like those idiot Pharisees, missing the giant truth that Jesus is God? In all the craziness of the world, it's so easy to let the worries of day-to-day life blind you to the truth of Jesus. Like the Pharisees, so many do not understand who Jesus is, but instead they just want to manipulate Jesus in order to make him say what they want him to say. So many reject the truth that Jesus is king. With the current 24-hour news cycle and ever-present social media, it's tempting to get so caught up in politics you can start to believe that the politicians are your savior. It's especially true during election season. Now, if you're a citizen, you have a duty to stay informed and a duty to vote. And as a Christian, your duty is to vote in a way that loves and serves your neighbor. You vote in a way that protects the vulnerable and weak. You vote in a way that protects innocent life from those who would snuff it out. You vote for taxes that are good for your neighbor. Elections are important, but not eternally important. No matter who wins an election, God is still God. Jesus is still King. And that is infinitely more important than who holds temporary political power. Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He's confronting the Pharisees, and they're fighting back. They're trying to nail Jesus down on the question of taxes and a bunch of other things, and Jesus does not allow it. Jesus does allow himself to be nailed down on Friday morning. The Jewish and Roman authorities team up to arrest Jesus, beat him, mock him, flog him, crown him with thorns, and parade him through the street to the place of the skull where they nail Jesus down to a cross and lift him up to suffer and die in utter humiliation. Jesus allows himself to be the all-encompassing sacrifice for sin, for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world. Wearing a crown, Jesus allows himself to be crucified to redeem you. And he does it under a sign announcing him to be King of the Jews. 3 days later, he victoriously rises from the dead to conquer death and conquer sin and conquer hell forever. Jesus is King. Jesus reigns. He rules. Your whole being and everything you have belongs to Jesus. Render to God the things that are God's. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.